I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Good evening. We're really glad that you're part of our evening worship service tonight, that you've logged on, and I hope it is a blessing to you. That is our objective and our goal. Some of you, I know you watch on either Facebook, some of you log right onto the church's website. I know some of you are using the church app, and that's great. In fact, I've had a number of people tell me the church app is the clearest of them all. And then I know that you can also go to YouTube. Both John and I, when these services play, I know that I'm at home and I have like three or four devices all on, and I'm watching all of them to make sure they're all working right. And I know John does the same thing, so that if there is a glitch, we can try to do what we can. But for sure, if you're watching and all of a sudden like our church's website goes down, you can scroll down a little bit and you'll see that the service is pre-recorded and right down there in the videos. So you can pop that on and then you can watch it there, or just switch over to Facebook, YouTube. We're trying to cover the bases. We want to make sure that you have no problem watching the services and worshiping together with your church. So let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we're going to turn it over to our music folks that are here with us for this evening service. We've got a new backup singer tonight, so we'll introduce her as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to come and worship. And I do pray that it would be your Holy Spirit that empowers your word and speaks to hearts according to your will, Lord. And tonight, as we look at patience, I pray that each and every one of us would learn something, hide your word in our hearts, that we might exercise greater patience in our daily lives. We thank you, Lord, for your scriptures that we can take, study, and apply. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, so what we're going to do is turn it over to our praise team. They're going to lead us in I'm So Happy, At Calvary, and Lamb of God. And so with Jenny, we have Kathy Boyce, part of the praise team tonight. We're glad that she's volunteered to jump in here and help out.
I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away.
Service. I know that the music ministry, John, is open to volunteers to come and work with him. both on the praise team and specials, things like that. So reach out to him. And then, as I mentioned this morning, already we're putting together that list for mowing and weed whacking and all of that kind of thing. So if you'd like to help out with that, we'd love to have you do it. I mentioned the other day that Paula Jean called up, said she really wanted to serve the Lord. She's been coming in and by herself, come on up, washing windows inside and out. There's lots of things to do. Really, the entire building, as we get ready to open back up for church, hopefully in not too far away time, is going to have to be gone through and vacuumed and dusted and sanitized, all of those things. So if you are looking to serve the Lord in some capacity, give us a call. We would love to help you to be able to do that. Now, at this time, we're going to turn it right back to our praise team, and they're going to lead you in My life is in your Lord?
In you, Lord.
Yeah, okay. So it's my life is in you, Lord. Victory in Jesus, sweet by and by. So ladies.
Strength.
very much, ladies. That always is a blessing. We appreciate whether we're here or online. We always appreciate those who minister to us in music, whether it be in the church orchestra or whether it be as singers in the choir or the praise team or whatever it may be. We're always grateful for those who minister to us in music. Hopefully, we're going to be able to see our orchestra, our praise band, come back together in not too far in the future. Maybe what we'll have to do is talk to John about seeing if we can't put together a little praise band special for one of these services that we're doing online. I'll bet if we worked at it, we could coordinate something like that with a little bit of social distancing and that kind of thing. Especially when you think of Brother Sinks on the drums, he already has a circle of social distancing with those drums, so shouldn't be too hard to space them out. We'll have to reach out and see what we can do. All right, so at this time, we are getting ready to have Rachel Foster come, and she is going to minister to us in a special song. And we're so grateful for her taking time out of her week to come up and practice with John a number of times, and then to come and record it. So let's turn it right over to her.
Told you you're not good enough when he told you you're not right.
Thank you very much, Rachel. We appreciate that. Fear is a liar. Wow, that's a powerful message, isn't it? And really, during this time, there's so many people, if they're not careful, they listen to fear more than they listen to the Lord. And certainly, we know that the Bible teaches us that Satan is the father of all lies. So listen to the Lord. Find your peace, your strength, and your comfort in Him. As we go into our message tonight, I'm going to take you to Luke chapter 8. So if you'd turn with me there, Luke chapter 8, I'm going to read to you verses 4 down through verse 15. Title of our message this evening, A Serving of Fruit with a Side of Patience. A serving of fruit with a side of patience. Now, this morning I told you that I was going to go ahead and preach on patience, and I am, but the text I'm going to read to you is a very, very familiar text to Christians, and it is the text where the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching about sowing the seed. It's a parable, and He's going to give the parable, then He's going to explain the parable, and the very last verse I read to you, He is going to talk about spiritual fruit and patience. And so you listen for that, and you'll be able to pick up on it. So I'm going to read to you Luke chapter 8, verses 4 down through 15. And when much people were gathered together and were come to Him out of every city, He spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried out, He that hath ears, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So did you hear that? He said in verse 15 that the seed that fell upon good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bringeth forth fruit with patience. So when we look at that verse 15, we see that as he talks about the word of God being sown and people receiving it into their heart, some falling upon rocky ground, thorny ground, some Satan reaching in and snatching away before there can be any fruit born. But he comes down to where he says there's good fruit to be born with patience. And that's why I had the title, A Serving of Fruit, A Serving of Spiritual Fruit with a Side of Patience. Now, I don't know about you, but I love fruit. I like really good, cold, crisp apples. Last night I had to go and pick up some things for Sandra Jo, and she asked me to get apples. So I got a bag of really nice, crisp apples. I had one last night, and it was so good. But I will tell you, sometimes I like to have a really cold, crisp apple with a little side of peanut butter. And I'll cut my apple. John laughs at me because I'll use my pocket knife to cut my apple. But that's okay, because once in a while I wash that knife, and so I'll be okay. But then I'll cut the apple and dip it in that peanut butter. It is so good, and it's also healthy. Much, much better than Pop-Tarts or anything like that. Fruit is good for you, even as a diabetic. In moderation, fruit is good for you. So when you look at this text in verse 15, he's talking about spiritual fruit. We should all be bearing spiritual fruit in our lives. God's word comes into our hearts and in our lives, and it bears fruit. But when you look at verse 15, he adds that while we bear that spiritual fruit, we do it with patience. So in verse 15, he's linked these principles together. He's woven them together. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to kind of unwind it and look at it piece by piece. So when you look at the very first part of the verse, you learn that patience goes with an honest heart. Listen to what he says. But on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. So he starts out by talking to us about patience being added to that spiritual fruit that's woven with all these principles. And the first principle is patience goes with an honest heart. Honesty is a delight to the Lord. He expects you and I as children of God to be honest. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. You see, he expects us to be honest in our business dealings, doesn't he? So when you're dealing with other people, you should have an honest weight. He's referring to scales, a dishonest weight or an honest weight. He says, an honest weight is a delight to the Lord. Also, you and I should be honest in our words, the things we say. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. So not only in our business dealings, but in our words, when we talk to people, it should be that our words are honest words. It should never be said that you as a Christian are a liar. That the two contradict each other. That should not be a part of our lives. We should be delighting the Lord with honest words. And actually, our entire walk, the way we live our lives, should be honest. When you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 10 down through 12, it says, we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. You see, he's talking to you and I about our whole lives, about us going about our life business. And he says in this text, you and I, we should walk honestly. So when we look here in Luke chapter 8 and we come down to verse 15 and he's talking to you and I about bearing fruit in our lives with a side dish of patience, we understand as we look at the verse that our patience should be linked back to our honesty. It should be that we are honest people, patient in all our dealings, waiting on the Lord, not taking shortcuts of dishonesty, but doing that which is right. In fact, look with me as we go into the second part of verse 15, because not only does he talk about patience goes with an honest heart, but listen to what he says. That on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. So I want you to note that he makes a distinction between an honest and a good heart. You and I should be good-hearted people. It should be that folks understand that we as Christians have a good heart to help others. Look with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. And here we find a great text that talks about having that good heart. What are the manifestations? What reveals that we have a good heart? Look with me, if you would, at Luke chapter 6. And I'm going to read to you verse 27 down. And I'm going to stop and I'm going to show you these things that show us a good heart. Listen, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. You see, it takes a good heart to love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. It takes a good heart to do good to others who may not be doing very good to you. Verse 28, bless them that curse you. Wow, that takes a good heart. And pray for them which despitefully use you. You see, you and I, really, in order for us to have a good heart to do the things he's talked about, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, then we have to take the second part of this verse, pray for them which despitefully use you, and we have to practice that. You see, in order for us to have a good heart, we need to pray and say, God, please help me. Help me to treat others who have despitefully used me, who have abused me, who hate me. Lord, I pray for them. Help me to have a good heart, that I might see them come to salvation, that I might mend broken relationships, that I might be kind to those who are not kind to me. Look as we come down a little bit farther, verse 29. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. That takes a good heart, doesn't it? And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Wow, that takes a good heart to be so generous, to be so kind, is if somebody needs to take your cloak, you'd offer them your coat. As he comes down, he says in verse 31, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. That would take a good heart, wouldn't it? To look at somebody and know if they took it, they must have needed it. And if they needed it, do they need more? To have such a good heart, to want to help others, even when they're doing things that are wrong and even hurtful. We in return continue to try to help. That takes a good heart, doesn't it? Look at verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. You know, it's kind of like, well, we know that the old saying, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, it came from there. It's not an exact quote, but it's really close, isn't it? Listen to it again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That takes a good heart, doesn't it? Not just an honest heart, but a good heart. And in order for us to have a good heart, in order for us to bear that kind of fruit in our lives, we have to live that kind of life with a side dish of patience, don't we? Because it's hard to be patient with people who are your enemies. It's hard to be patient with people who hate you. It's hard to be patient with those who curse you or despitefully use you or those who would strike you in your cheek or take from you your cloak. Those who are not kind to us, those who do not like us, those who abuse us. In order for us to show a good heart to them, it requires a mighty heaping helping of patience, doesn't it? We have to reach out to the Lord. We have to say, Lord, help me. Help me to be the good-hearted person I should be by letting Christ live in and through me. And during this time, during this COVID-19 time, we need patience. I mean, for sure, this is not something that is convenient. It's certainly not something that is enjoyable. I'm not hearing anybody saying, boy, I'm so glad I'm locked down at home. I don't even hear people saying, I'm glad I get to work at home. They're ready to go back to their regular lives. And maybe we're a little tempted to strike out at others. And God says we should be patient enough to bear the fruit of an honest and good heart. Go back with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 8, and we're going to look again at verse 15, because I want you to see the third of these areas where we bear spiritual fruit with a nice side dish of patience. Look with me down in verse 15 again, if you would, please. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And so this third one is patience goes with a keeper of the word. Those who keep the word. And you know, a keeper, it's an interesting word because there's a couple different ways you can take the word keep. You can take the word of keep as something you put in your pocket and you make it yours. You've kept it. At my house, everywhere I go, I always carry a pocket knife, I guess just in case I come across a cold apple, I guess. I don't know. But everywhere I go, I carry a pocket knife. But when I get home, I take the things out of my pocket and I lay it on the counter in the kitchen. I put that and a few other things, I put them on the counter and I go about my evening. But then in the morning, I take that and I put it back in my pocket and I keep it for the day. But there's a second meaning to being a keeper. A keeper also is somebody who watches over, who pays attention to. He's a keeper of some item. You can be like me, I'm a keeper of cattle. I have 3 beef cows in the backyard. And so in my back pasture there. So every morning I get up and I look out the window and I make sure those beef cows are still there. Because if they're not, I have to go find them. And I don't, every day I say, thank you, Lord, they're there. Because I don't want to go find them. But I'm a keeper of those animals. So last night I had to go buy grain to get for those animals because I'm a keeper of that animal. I have to watch over and care for and take care of it. It's something I watch over or keep. Every morning we give them water. We make sure they have hay and they make grass and make sure the fence line is good and is electrified and in good order so that they stay within my property. I'm a keeper of them. Well, here God uses this word to keep his word. Listen again to verse 15 there. It says, having heard the word, keep it. So there really is a double meaning here. Not only do they possess it, they oversee it. It's part of what they have. It's part of who they are. It's theirs. And they're going to care for it. They're going to cherish it. They're going to nurture it. And so you and I in our lives, patience goes with keeping God's word. In fact, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms in your Old Testament. We want to look at Psalm 1. And I'm going to read to you verses 1 down through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Here, God is talking to you and I about being keepers of His Word, possessing it and overseeing it and living it ourselves. First off, He talks to you and I about, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You see, you and I, if we know and love God and we know and love His Word, we don't want to be in the midst of that which is wicked and evil. It doesn't make us comfortable. We don't enjoy it. In fact, it grates against us. Then as you look into verse 2, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Here he tells us, he says, yeah, he that is a keeper of the law, he that is a keeper of the word of God, he delights in it. It's kind of like my beef cows. You wouldn't think so, but I delight in those beef cows in more than one way. I get up and I go out there, I bring them their grain, I bring them their water, I scratch them on the top of the head, I talk to them, they never talk back. We have a great relationship. And it goes that way for a couple years. And then in a couple years, they go for the big ride. And that's a process of life. And they go and they come back, although I only keep a half of one for me. And Sandra Jo and our children, we enjoy that aspect of them too. I delight in that. I enjoy having a nice lean hamburger or nice lean steak. I enjoy that. I delight in being a keeper of those beef cows. God's word also I delight in. I take its principles and I hide them in my heart. And then each day I draw from them. In fact, the Holy Spirit, God told us He would give us the Holy Spirit to bring back to our remembrance the things we have learned. So His word hid in our hearts, when we delight in it, it brings to us much joy in all parts, all fashions. So when we have the patience to spend time in His word, when we have the patience, that side dish of patience, to delight in His word, we receive back the blessings that it contains. Whether it be raising up our children in the nurture and admonition of our Lord, whether it be in our business dealings, being honest and practicing the principles of God's word, or whether it be in our own daily lives, going about our business, each of us delighting in His word. And then look at verse 3. He says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, for you and I who live in Vermont, the Green Mountain State, where we see trees and grass and green leaves, I mean, it is a lush place. But if you go to the Middle East, if you go to Israel, you will not see a lush place except for where the River Jordan and other tributaries run. Then you will see trees planted beside the river that never dry out. They never shed their leaves because of drought. They're robust. They bear their fruit in the season they're supposed to. In fact, Israel now has a massive system of irrigation where they bring water to huge gardens, massive orchards. They have mastered the skill of transporting water out like rivers to create bountiful harvests. God says to you and I that when we are keepers of His word, it nourishes us and refreshes us so that we are able to bear fruit in our lives. So when we see God link these things together in verse 15, an honest heart, a good heart, a keeper of His word, we understand that all of those things require that side dish of patience that adds to our lives. Go back with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 8. And I'm going to show you the last of these things that go with patience. Look again with me at verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So here he simply tells us that in our spiritual lives, you and I, when we receive God's word, as the sower has sowed the seed, and it falls upon good ground, when we live our faith, when our faith is practical and real in our lives, not some philosophy, but a real practical aspect of who we are, he says we bear fruit. And we bear fruit with patience. So we find that he clearly wants us to understand that fruit bearing is a part of who we should be as Christians. In fact, turn with me in your New Testament, if you would, over to the book of Philippians. And I'm going to show you in here a wonderful text that reminds us that God desires for us to bear fruit. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read to you verses 13, 14, and 15. Listen. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. He's saying to you and I, our lives should be of such that we are reaching forth. We're reaching. We should be desiring to be productive, to prosper in our lives. Oh, not money. He's not talking about money. He's talking about life. It's interesting that he says, forgetting those things in the past. We live in a culture and a society today that just seems to want to wallow in the past. When I was a boy, we raised pigs, my dad, and I was the guy who fed them each day. I'd get home from school, and I would go up behind the barn, and we had a pig pen, and I'd feed the pigs. And, you know, pigs are actually quite clean animals. You wouldn't think so, but they really are. And so there's an area where you feed them. They do their business over in another area, and if they can, they'll create a wallow in another area, and then they like to sleep in another area. But in the heat of the day, if you give them water, they'll create a wallow, and they like to go and they like to wallow in that. Well, sometimes people are a little bit like pigs. They just want to go and wallow. You know, all their sorrows, all their struggles, all the hurts of the past, all the wounds, all the difficulties, any offenses, anything that's ever happened, they like to put it in the wallow and just go and roll around in it once in a while. That totally baffles me. Here he tells us, he says, forgetting those things of the past and pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God. You and I, listen, we have to let the past go. It's even kind of like a farmer who bears fruit. He can't continually be looking back to past harvests. Before long, he runs out of the reserve. He has to press forward, press toward what's next. He's got to plan and work. He's got to leave that past where it was and move on. And you and I in our lives, if we're going to bear fruit, you can't keep on hanging on to the old fruit. You can't keep wallowing in the old things. You have to go ahead and press towards the high mark to bear new fruit, good fruit. Bearing Christian fruit honors Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10 says, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10. It's a great verse. I'm going to read it to you one more time. walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10. You and I, we need to bear fruit. We need to go ahead and produce spiritual fruit in our Christian walk. But it really does require a heaping helping of patience on the side. We have to decide, you know what? I'm going to be okay. I'm going to do this with the Lord. I'm going to make it through each day. And we're going to look for what God has ahead because I can't change what has happened in the past. And even this COVID-19, we're dealing with it today. But have hope in tomorrow. Be patient. Allow God to work in your honest and good heart. Allow God to do a work in you as you keep His word and practice it in your life. Allow God to give you the patience to bear good fruit. I'm so glad that you are part of the service tonight. I'm so glad that you have joined us to worship. And again, I so look forward to when we are going to come back. I'm already looking ahead. We're planning, we're working, we're putting things in place. We know it's going to come. We just need to be patient while we bear fruit now. In our homes, doing our work from our homes, or if you're one of those folks who's working outside of your homes, whatever we do, wherever we go, we must be patient. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close the service. Father in heaven, we come before you, and Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can come and worship you. While we may not right now be able to come together personally, physically, we are coming together in our hearts and our souls. We're coming and joining together to worship you. And I pray that you would be with us this evening. Help us to hide these truths in our heart. Help us to practice these principles that we might bear fruit with a healthy side dish of patience. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.